Hello.
Test, test.
What are you testing? I tested everything.
Hola. You didn't check mine. How can you test my mic?
I came here before you did. I tested all the stuff.
How do you do to test my mic?
I just give a little snap.
That's not how I sound. How is it? Witred! Perfect. That's it. We have the intro song. Sure. Done.
It sounds great.
Huh? Does it pick up my whale sounds?
Yes.
Like a cartoon whale that's embarrassed about life. That's the character I'm going with.
Today?
Like a self-loathing whale.
What's his name?
But very lovable.
You nailed it.
You hear it in him? It's like, hey, what'd you do today? And you're like, oh, why the hell did I ask this?
What's his name?
Moby Richard.
Okay. Moby Dick.
I can't say that.
Why not? It's a name.
Mopey Dick? That's not a good name.
Oh my God.
Mopey Richard. That's his name.
Oh my God.
Mopey Richard is his name.
Okay.
And that's how he sounds when he finishes work every day.
Okay.
When he comes home.
Is this how
Would
you
be
feel
friends
today?
With him? No, I was just testing the mic today with that theme.
Okay.
Mopey Richard.
Hi,
new
everyone.
Character unlocked.
We're back. I'm Sheena, and this is another episode of Sheena Interrupted.
Why? I'm so happy. It's like a turtle whale. A very sad turtle whale.
I'm reminded of Finding Dory.
But this is Mopey Richard.
Yeah, he was on the squad of the people finding Dory and Nemo.
He found.
Yeah.
Then he forgot.
Okay. It's Dory that
no!
forgets.
Mopey Richard has very few friends.
Mopey Richard is going to make an appearance back, I think, when we start talking about today's topic.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to be really sad.
How come you didn't shampoo your hair today?
How do you know I didn't shampoo my hair?
Just one guess.
Because I'm wearing a hat.
You're wearing your shampoo. I didn't shampoo hat.
No, it's
Might
actually...
Might as well just wear a shower cap and come
actually,
to work today.
It has nothing to do with the fact that I didn't shampoo my hair. My hair actually looks fine from the bottom. It's that I really need to go see my hairdresser.
So the top of your head isn't allowed to be exposed?
Yeah, all my gray hairs are starting to come
out. Oh, so you're wearing
out.
A hat. Yeah. Got it. Nice.
So I'm wearing a hat today.
No! Gray hairs are bad.
They're not bad. They're just
the truth.
They're just you
people
know,
will know
that I have gray hair. I have gray hair.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but I'm hiding my gray hair under my hat. That's why I'm wearing the hat.
Nice.
Yeah, I make it work.
So what's today's topic?
Today we're talking about money.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wowza.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that.
No, I thought Mopey Richard
just
would
buy
have
the
a...
no. You're talking about money today.
Yeah,
I'm going to pull up an article that recently came up about how rich you are.
How rich I am?
Yeah.
Oh, I know which article you're talking about.
Oh,
you should
I don't
definitely
know even which
tell
one
everybody.
Because...
You should tell everybody how much the internet thinks I make all the time.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Every day.
Sheena Melwani is a renowned Canadian-American YouTuber, pianist, songwriter, social media influencer, and entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
She's renowned amongst her fans for her captivating YouTube videos and lip syncs on TikTok. Oh, I didn't know you lip sync all your singing videos. You're such a fraud.
I do not.
You're tricking me this whole time.
I sing them.
Oh, my God. No, I don't know. The internet never lies. So
how much do
you
they
must
say
be
I
lying.
Make?
It says you are 5'6".
I'm not.
You weigh 120 pounds.
I do not.
It says you're 34, 28, 40. You're for sure not
nope,
a 40.
Nope, I'm not.
The rest, I don't know.
The other
the
two
biggest,
are wrong also.
I don't, but the biggest number's on the bottom, and I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Oh, eyes dark brown.
That's correct.
I got that right.
That's correct. When I'm angry, they're black.
Net worth?
Yeah.
$7.81 million.
What?
Yeah, you're crushing
Who
it.
Who in God's name thinks
I
make $7 million
I won't say
a
the
year.
Website.
This is wrong. I wish I did.
Oh, wait, but
wrong.
There's more. She would pick a trending song, do a cover, and upload it. That's how you rose to fame.
Oh.
Then you posted your human jukebox. That's also true. Wait, but then I'm trying to find the part where they go nuts and they start putting all the random crap because they don't know.
More random crap than what you already read?
Well, I mean, the money part's crap, but the other stuff.
It's not true. None of it was true. I'm not 5'6". I do not have a, what, 36, 28?
34, 28, 40.
34, bust, 28, waist, and hips. No, that's not correct. None of those numbers are
okay,
correct.
Here are some fun facts about you.
Okay.
Your favorite festival is Holi.
That's your favorite holiday. I mean, I like it, holiday. But it's not my favorite.
You enjoy playing with your pet dog in your free time.
Which dog? I don't have a dog.
You have a private
recording
studio. I'm closer
to having a second wife than having a dog.
You have a private recording studio at home.
Here we are.
Kind of. We're in it right
we're
now.
We're in it right now.
You are an avid reader and like to read music-related books and fiction novels. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the ladies in those books make music that you read, but I don't know if that counts.
Oh, I here. Like reading, but I do not read music books.
You love to travel to cold places.
False. I don't even like to put my hand in the freezer. Like, yep. Literally, when I have to get something from the freezer, wrong? I ask one of the kids or you to get it from the freezer because I don't like...
Yo, this is really sad, though.
What?
I just went to another site.
Yeah.
And this one has your net worth at $1.6 million.
That's not true.
So you lost $7 million in my one search? What have you done? Oh my God.
Okay.
That's so lame.
Let's put this away.
Okay, but that's, we're talking about money.
Yeah, we're talking about money. And the first thing I'm going to tell you on this subject is don't believe anything that you hear or read from some other source.
Yeah, everybody, she will just tell you.
No,
how much
I will not tell
makes.
Anybody. Money is something that is so personal and so private, and everybody has the right Whoa, to their.
I'm glad I kept Googling.
You're still going.
This one has you at $11.16 million. I don't know which currency
what
they're using.
What do people think
oh,
that
however,
I do?
Some people have suggested that your net worth might actually be closer to $15.63 million.
Based on what?
I don't know. I think they think you have an OnlyFans.
I don't. We've all established that this
Sheena is Mawani earns
not
an
fact.
Estimated $2.79 million a year. You rascal, where have you been putting all this? Huh? How do you do this?
I'm going to remove this.
No, you are loaded. No one told me.
I'm not loaded.
This is crazy. If Sheena Malwani makes on the top end, video ads could earn her more than $5 million a year? What are we doing on a podcast? You make $5 million a year? This is my last episode, folks. I'm not doing this show anymore. She's been hiding money. From me.
Oh my gosh. Do you think that I would do that?
I mean, you make at least 2.79 a year. That's what it said. Million
dollars. Based on
dollars.
Which website?
I don't want to say the website's
name. I'm
going
to tell you, none of those are true. None of those are fact.
I read it on the internet.
I know you did. And the internet, everybody knows that the internet is full of only truths.
How much did you pay for that hat? Is it $600,000,
$700,000?
No. The sweater?
No.
Is that llama? Are you wearing llama? I know llama sweaters are like $4,000 or $5,000.
The sweater was like $20.
How many did you buy?
What?
Is it a wear and throw?
No.
Does it grow into like a llama in the backyard if you bury it?
You know,
I don't know what people as rich as you do. So I don't, I'm just guessing it. You just plant your own animals. But I don't, I'm just a commoner that takes care of the kids apparently while you siphon money off to, I don't know where you keep it, but
it's for me to know and you not to.
I don't understand this. So please explain.
I was just thinking it would be interesting to talk to people about like people's relationship with money. We don't need to talk about
what do
figures
you do
and
to
facts.
Your money. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Like Scrooge, where he puts it in the bed and like
no.
swims in it. And...
No, but okay, let's go back. A few years.
Way
remember?
Back.
Way back.
What's that song
back
now? I still, nobody knew what the hell you were talking about until you got to the other part. I was like, no.
Do you remember when we first moved to our first apartment?
Yes.
We had no money.
Apartments don't normally come furnished with cash.
No, we had very,
it's a three
very...
bedroom, comes with $4,000 hidden in the basement.
We had very little money in our
yes.
account.
Correct.
Like very, very little. I don't even think we had enough to like furnish the whole apartment. We did not. I know we did not.
But we bought that fancy couch.
We bought that couch on credit with your friend's like secondary approval.
Yes.
Yes. We did not have enough money to get that couch.
No.
We didn't.
No. we didn't have money.
And I think there's something really cool and special when you look back and when you see how your relationship with finances grow together and you have to now teach, like we have to teach our kids how to spend money and how to value money. And, you know, I think it's important that they learn to earn their own, but at the same time, we want to give them that financial security. So I thought it might be a really interesting conversation to have.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sheena's Swiss bank account. Learn how to take your money and hide it. You're for sure going to get us audited at some point. And I hope they bust you and all your criminal rings that you're involved with. Do you keep it all in Bitcoin? Is that what you do? No. Is that why you have all those USB sticks in your car? I don't know what you're doing with your life. I would like it to stop immediately. It's scaring me. Just be a normal person.
I am.
Go.
I do.
Buy normal animal fur items.
I like don't wear wool. Fur. Nope. I
Not
don't.
This chinchilla sweater you're wearing. I don't know what it is, but it looks very expensive all of a sudden. The way it drapes, it looks like a
That's why I
exotic left
it.
Animal.
It's not an animal. I don't wear animals.
Is it weaved by one-eyed snakes?
No. Do you think that if I was like siphoning money and like hiding it from you, that I would voluntarily start an episode about money?
Yeah, because you didn't realize I was going to go do my research on the internet and go to those reliable sources and find out you're worth somewhere between $200,000 and $15.6 million. Depends on who you ask when. I know your crypto's on a run now, so you're enjoying yourself.
Okay.
So we had a sofa back when I was the only one generating normal small amounts of money, like most of our listeners.
Yeah.
Until you showed up.
We didn't even have like...
She gets $1 for every view?
No, I don't.
I think it's $1.50 for every view.
Then I would have a lot more money than what you're accusing me of having.
Yes. But there's taxes. Are you sure you want to talk to people about financial advice?
I'm not giving them advice.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't give anybody advice. But I do think that it's important to know. And I think that it's something that you and I have spoken about at different points in our lives. But it's like at least my relationship with money has continuously evolved over the years. And now I just thought it was an interesting thing to talk about because I'm having these conversations, and I think you are too, with the kids. I think that when we started off in our little apartment, I couldn't work.
You were dressing up like a Fruit of the Loom mascot and singing to children.
But that was just a temporary thing.
Yes.
And I think I got like a small sum of money for that job that I did.
Which now is worth a lot of money with the way your people in Switzerland have been investing it.
No, I think I donated all of that money.
No, you didn't.
I think I did.
To who?
I don't know, but I think...
The blueberry farmers of America? You did not donate your money.
Yeah,
you didn't have any money. You're not going to donate it.
No, I remember in the beginning, I was so inspired when I would make even a few $100 that I would say, I want to do something good with this. I'm going to donate this. I want to do something really nice with this. I would donate it. But I was making very, very small amounts of money. And I don't feel like I ever had a consistent revenue stream.
I can't believe this part of the story.
Why not?
Because you used to steal money from me to order pizza. So the fact that you used to donate your own money. If you donated your own money and then stole my money to order pizza, that's not right either.
You used to steal from my stash. Okay, here's the story, people.
Get all of your facts out. You're mixing things up and you're confusing people.
Okay.
They think you're a billionaire who donates everything. And you still haven't even made a dollar and you've been dressed like a blueberry in all of your jobs so far. This is a very unorthodox pattern
to make false. A living. When we moved to Boston, I did not have a steady source of income. I was not working. I could not work. I was here just on a spousal visa. Except for that 3-month period when I was working on that blueberry show. We're going to put that aside.
Yes.
Okay. We also were just starting out. So we didn't really have a ton of, we didn't have a ton of savings. And a lot of what we were earning, we were buying furniture, bedding, stuff for the house. We were just laying down like our basics in our house. The only time that money would come to me directly was if my mom or dad would visit or like a family member would visit. And we have something called karchi, which is just sort of like a little blessing. So my mom would come and visit and she would put like $100 in my hand as she was leaving the house. Like it was just sort of like, here's a little blessing for you. So I would take that $100 and then my dad, like on the side, he'd be like, here's a little more. And he would give me $100. So I would take that and I would put it in an envelope and I would put it in the little safe that was under our bed.
In which we kept our Chuck E. Cheese coupons. And what a, like a marriage certificate. There's no cash in that box.
Well, there was only
the best part about that box is it was under a bed, not attached to anything.
It was the smallest little safe we could get.
It was
get.
Just like a, it was essentially
it was like a
folder.
No, it wasn't a folder. Steel, it was heavy.
It was a steel box.
It was a heavy steel box.
Which you could just carry away.
Yes.
We never realized the hole on the inside was to bolt it to the floor.
Which we never did.
We're like, oh, this is a great item.
And then, so I started like this little stash under the bed in my little safe. So I think it had like maybe $400-$500. And all of a sudden one day we had ordered pizza that night and you went to the door, opened the door and said, hey, do you have some cash? And I said, no, I got nothing. And you said, oh, hold on 1 second. And you went to the room and you shuffled around a little bit and you gave the guy some money. And I said, where did you get that money? And you said, oh, I found it in the little envelope.
Yeah, in the pizza envelope. There's this envelope with 20s that I used to use every time I ordered pizza and I didn't have any cash.
That was my stash.
And I was like, what stash are you speaking of?
That was my stash. And he's like, that's my pizza money.
Yeah, I always just took my, that was the only place we had cash.
So he had been stealing from my stash that was the only thing that I had that was mine and he using it for pizza money.
So when we moved from Canada. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any ties to the U.S., got here before I started my job. And then when I started my job, opened a U.S. bank account. There was one salary that got deposited into that bank account every 2 weeks. We each had a debit card from that bank account. And we had one credit card that we ultimately got. And it was, again, we both were linked to that one credit card. We didn't have separate credit cards. All of our bank accounts and credit cards, if we even had, I can't remember, in Canada, just stayed there. Because there wasn't much there. We just transferred everything to the U.S.
Yep.
So when we would get paid, it would go into the same account. So if we went to the mall and needed to buy anything, we bought it on that one credit card or we bought it from that one account.
Yep.
So if we needed cash in the house, we only had one source
to pull it from.
To get that cash. It was that one account. So when I see an envelope in the house with money,
yeah,
and there's only one source of money and there's only one job,
yes,
and there's no other accounts to pay our bills from,
yeah,
I just took it from that envelope, not yeah, realizing that she had her own secret accounts.
Well, so the whole point of my secret account was I didn't, like, if I wanted to buy something and I didn't want you to know about it. So if I had a birthday gift that I wanted to buy or if I wanted to buy something for our anniversary for you, I didn't like the idea of taking it from our account and having you see what I was spending on.
Meanwhile, that's where I bought all these gifts
because
from.
Because I'm not as diligent about checking the accounts. Like, let's be real. I'm really not
now. Yeah.
So that's what my little account was for.
So you
for.
Always
that's
had, what my little you always had issues spending.
But yeah, I had a big problem spending money because, and not because you made me feel any kind of way. I think it was my own thing. I always had a problem spending money
that I felt
I had not earned. You know, it wasn't mine. And I know that you never made it seem that way and you never made me feel that way and you never did anything to give me that impression. It was a me thing. But I had a really hard time thinking that my contribution in our relationship at that point was valued the same way. And I couldn't work, so it was a catch-22. And I continued to feel this way, by the way. I continued to feel this way, oh, yeah, even as the kids came, even as I was home with them. For many, many years, it took me a long time to get over that fact of, like, my contribution, even though it didn't, it wasn't rewarded financially in the most official capacity. Like, I didn't have a boss that gave me a paycheck every week or every 2 weeks. I still, my contribution was still valuable, but I didn't see it as financially the same.
So what is your advice for people whose situation is that only one partner is earning and the other one is taking care of other responsibilities for the family?
In my case, the way I got over it was I started working. And that's what made me realize that, no, my contribution has been well in existence. And, like, I have been contributing for many, many years and not understanding how important that is. There is nothing that is more important than being a team together. Like, you need, yes, you need somebody to go out and make money, but you need somebody to hold down the fort too. And I was holding down the fort. I was raising our kids. I was making sure that laundry was done. I was making sure that dinner was on the table. I was making sure that everything was organized. I was making sure that the house was running smoothly so that you could go to work and come back and have everything done. And obviously our roles have changed slightly since I've started working more consistently, but all of those things, they ran smoothly. Our train just kept going because I was home doing those things, but I didn't value that.
And now?
Now it's hard. I remember all the things that I was on top of. And when I drop things now, I'm like, oh, shoot, it was so much easier to be on top of it when I wasn't also trying to work. So to whoever it is that's staying home and holding down the fort, like, your job is so important. It is so valuable. And it's something that, it's almost like it's a thankless job because you don't have somebody saying to you, you know, thank you for showing up today and doing your job. Here's a paycheck at the end of the month or at the end of the week. But it's really, really important for the happiness of the home and for the overall, like, functionality of the family.
Do you think this is something people need to hear? I didn't realize that you needed to hear this. And I couldn't have said anything because I don't think I did anything to make you feel like, no, you have a limit. You can't go buy this. You can't go buy that. You bought whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
You limited your buying because you felt like you were not allowed to go and buy, you know, whatever, a llama sweater until you were making some sort of a contribution. Would you change something now if you could go back in time?
I think that you have to have your own relationship with how you spend and all of that. But it's about valuing yourself.
So you didn't?
I don't think I gave myself that same value. I don't think I realized how important my role was in the family.
When did you realize? When you started making money, but everything else started going to shit? Is that when you figured it out? You're like, this was kind of fun when I didn't have to hire someone.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have to pick up the pieces of the things that aren't getting done or the things that you're just so too tired to do. So many changes happened all at the same time. We noticed differences in our kids. Our kids were kind of missing us and our, you know, that.
When was that?
When I started working, I would notice that they would just constantly be looking at me. Can you get off your phone? Can you do something with me? Can you do this with me? And I realized that they were missing that attention that I was giving them throughout the day.
I thought this was a money episode and now you've gone into a whole other thing and I'm feeling depressed now.
Why are you feeling depressed?
I don't know. You're making it seem like you've abandoned your children. Your house is a complete mess. People are not even washing their clothes anymore. Making it seem like you did all of those things on your own before. I'm mad until I realize I'm the other person in the story. I was like, man, that person, her partner is such a loser. And I'm like, wait, no. Her partner did a lot.
Yes, you did.
But it feels like you didn't do anything.
No, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just trying to say that your relationship with how you spend, it's all in your head.
So all of you people listening whose partner doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah.
It's all in their head. Perfect. Go tell them that.
No.
Any issues you have, say, look, I think this is a you thing. It's in your head. Go buy a sweater. You'll feel better. Thank you for listening to the number one relationship advice podcast you're listening to right now.
A lot of trouble.
But it'll be fun for people.
No, it will not.
It'll be fun.
I don't know how we got on that particular tangent, but I will say that going back to the whole topic of money, when I started earning my own and contributing to our same one pot, I felt a
lies. tell them what your banking team in Geneva has told you to do.
I don't have a banking
team in whoever Geneva. It is that advises you on these items. We used to have
we have multiple accounts.
We have one account. What do you have?
I have another account
do I have any? If I go to the bank and I say, can I take money from this account? What will they say?
Which account?
They will call the police. Because that's called robbery. It's the same if I go ask for your money.
I take money from that account and I poured it over to our account.
So you say.
I do.
I also see it going the other way sometimes.
It's not true.
True or false? You have accounts just with your name.
True
or false? You never had any such accounts before you started making your own money. I was working. We had one account. You started working. You have one you account and one joint account.
Tell everybody who set that up.
I don't know. Some like very, very capable financier who lives in the Swiss Alps in a log cabin. Yeah, so she has her own account. She has her own business account. And then I have one account where the salary that pays the mortgage goes into.
You set
very, very bright people sitting around this one. Very, very capable people. So now you're okay with money? You figured it out? You feel better?
I think I'm okay with money.
You spend more than you make. You know that part. I mean, more than I see.
I think
yet somehow
I don't spend more than I make.
Like you open TikTok, you're like, oh, wow, look, you're going to send me $432. Let me go shopping. I'm going to take a girl's trip. You don't connect the two. I mean, now I know you're siphoning it off like 90% to other countries via.
You are outrageous and you're going to make.
Do you own businesses? I think you own businesses.
No, I don't. What businesses?
Have you invested in businesses? Yes. You have.
You're aware of everything.
That must
seem
nice.
Don't lie to people. You know everything that I am part of. You know all the things.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be very, very, very raw and honest
here.
Don't
do it.
I am terrible with money.
That's why you're doing an episode on money.
Yes, I am horrible with money. And I take the advice of the people who I trust. And I do what they tell me to do with the money. And I'm telling you all this, I'm being vulnerable, but I'm not going to listen to you if you tell me what to do.
Do you think it's easier? I think it's way easier.
To do what?
To start your life with no money with somebody.
Yeah.
Then you both have some money and then you have to figure out how to.
Yeah.
You know, I find it fascinating. I don't know what the right answer is.
But no, but like I can't imagine how people come with their own funds and then they have to share their funds or they have to create a new account and they have all this stuff. Like we're joking about this, but you know exactly what's in that other account that I created because I get
actually,
paid.
I don't know.
Okay.
Do I know?
You may not know like the exact money every week, but you know that I get a salary every week from that. You know that I draw
Who
from that.
Who pays your salary?
I pay my salary.
Are you well paid?
No.
You're not?
No.
So no one should work for you. No. You don't pay well. They don't even pay yourself well. That's horrible.
But my point is, we're laughing about it, but you have access and you know how to get to all of these things because you're the one who told me how to set it all up. We have a very, like, I think we've grown our funds together. We've grown our financial relationship also together. Like, our relationship with money was also very strained. Remember when we wanted to buy this house? Like, we were looking at all the different houses and it was a stretch to buy this house. And I remember me less, but you feeling very uncomfortable with putting that amount of money down and taking on that amount of money to owe the bank. Like, it's really hard when you didn't start with a lot, you know? You have to do what works for you. It's not a one size fits all answer. But for us, I love that we don't have to think like, here's what's yours and here's what's mine and here's what's ours and here's, like, it's just, This is the money, and this is, we can both take from that.
I would say it would make no difference.
What do you mean?
Just like you said, you have no idea what you have in your account. You have no idea what's in the other accounts. It would make no difference. It would just be two separate accounts.
Yeah.
Like you would know that you have your savings and this and that under your name.
Yeah.
And the other person would have their savings under their name instead of having it joint.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as big a deal if both people are able to contribute or if both people value things the same way like we did.
Well, so that's the thing. Like there are people, I think if you're splitting 70-30, how do you know that, that the person who's spending 70%, who's giving 70% of what you need is not resentful or building up some sort of resentment that I put more into this relationship than you do, or I put more financially, I bring more to the table.
It would have to be math.
Yeah.
Like it would just have to be you make that much more. Yeah. You know, if they collectively make 100,000, you make 70 and the other person makes 30.
And I think that works if the other person, that person who's making 70% is coming to the relationship sort of saying, I have no resentments. I know that this is what makes financial sense.
Yeah.
But look at our case. You came with 100% of the finances.
Yeah.
And I came with zero. And it worked. For you, it worked. You were comfortable saying, like, I'm not holding this person responsible for anything. She can't actually physically bring any money. But for me, I felt a huge sense of I cannot provide in this particular instance.
I mean, but you brought the 38, 24, 40. Those were your numbers. And then now you brought another 15 mil. So sometimes you have to just make an investment.
You just played the long game.
Yeah, you got to make an investment and see how it plays out.
All right, people.
So here, now I'm retiring.
Play the long game.
Yeah, I'm retiring now.
You know, and the other thing that I'm realizing is once I started earning, and I know it's really a privilege to be able to say this, at the end of the day, it's money. It's not good health. It's not, you know, we have the privilege of saying that we can earn more. Tomorrow we can earn more.
I mean, if they listen, if they click on follow, it's not been happening. They have not been diligent.
They've been listening.
YouTube people.
Yeah.
If you're watching.
Yeah.
If you see me pointing at you, I need you to go and hit follow. All of your phones, if you just search, they say podcast. There's an app there. I listen to me carefully. I don't need you to actually listen to the podcast on your phone. If you've seen it, I just need you to follow it because that's how this nasty little system works.
Yeah. We really
need
that
from
you.
Did you do it? Go. I mean, this episode wasn't our best. We have to be realistic. So there's not a lot of people that are going to be listening at this point.
Why not?
But if you're watching, I'm tugging at their emotional heartstrings here.
Okay. I think
so
it was pretty
fun. So if
that
didn't work, I need you to go and follow. What else do you have to share? Any bonds you're into? No, not the kind you read about. This is a money episode. Don't give me that look. I know all you were reading. I opened that book by mistake for a few minutes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you do.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What was that? What's the book you're reading now?
I'm done. I'm not reading any books right now.
What was the book you just finished?
I don't remember.
Who's Lucian? So that's where she spends her hard-earned money now.
No, on books?
Smutty Books.
Oh my God.
Smuttybooks.com. This episode is brought to you by Smuttybooks.com.
That was
books
a really
that ladies
nice...
read in their bedrooms, pretending like they're reading normal books while they're sitting right beside you. It's amazing. See, the equivalent of a male pulling out an adult magazine at bed at night, just being like, oh, I'm reading the articles. And then these ladies, they're just sitting there reading these books. Guys, you have no idea what the hell's even happening 2 feet from you. You have no clue.
You have no clue.
Oh, I'm not opening that. Some things are better left to the imagination.
No,
I'm not opening that book. I don't know what I would do if I knew these things about you.
I'm going to make you read the book so that you eat your words. Read the book.
Okay, give me that book from the other day that you were reading.
Fine, you can read that book.
What's it called?
I can't remember.
You see?
Things we hid from the light.
She's reading it for the articles, folks. Her favorite book.
Moving along. My relationship with money
has gotten
changed.
Better.
I think yours
I used to be scared.
That we would lose all of our money, right?
No. Not that we would lose our money, that we wouldn't be able to keep up with
our spending.
No, we've never been heavy spenders,
no.
But we bought a house. Yeah. So like you start working, you save up, now you want to buy a house. So you take all your savings and you dump it in the house for a down payment.
That's the thing with money, is that you, once you've spent something, then you just think of other things that you want to spend on.
That's not just money, that's life.
Yeah, but it's like when you're nervous about making sure that you can keep up with it, you think like, oh, I'll get to this point and then I'll be able to keep up, but it's not.
It's called the golden handcuffs.
It's crazy. Then you just want something else. Like you have a car and then you'd want a nicer car and then you want an even nicer car, and or you have a house and then you want a bigger house and then you want an even bigger house.
I mean, some people do. Not everyone. A lot of people get pretty good at dealing with their wants.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Golden handcuffs, that's a real expression, right? It really means be careful. And you would hear this in your professional career. They would say, oh, if you're going to move from, you know, being at one of the big companies to go to a smaller one, do it earlier in your career, because once you get to a certain stage, it'll be hard for you to make the move. Mm-hmm. And you would hear that as a younger person saying, wait, you're telling me that if I waited 5 years to move and my salary has gone up 50%, it's going to be hard for me to take a job that pays me what I'm getting paid now? Mm-hmm. And you would say, no way, I'll make more now, I'll save, and then I can easily go back to this. And
no, but the point answer is actually yes, it's yeah, harder.
It's crazy. You get used to a particular amount hitting your account every month. You get used to the way you're, you know, you go get, you can afford to buy other things. So you end up buying things. And then now
or
the thought of
out
moving
once or twice a week, otherwise that you wouldn't have necessarily yeah. done. Yeah.
And it never ends. Mm-hmm. So here's the secret to that. You want to hear the secret?
You have a secret?
I do.
How come you haven't shared it with me?
I'm about to.
Okay. But you're about to share it with like all of our listeners too.
No, tell me these things. This comes
first.
Out so much before it goes okay. to the public. So you okay. will know before.
Okay, go ahead.
These professions and everything that you chase, mm-hmm. if you're chasing it because you want the car or the house, you're not going to accomplish it. Mm. Because that's too easy. Everyone would do it. Mm-hmm. You have to actually do it because you don't mind failing and putting in the time and putting in the effort. There's actually some amount of joy you can derive. Joy might sound like a strong word. But there's some amount of that struggle that you can actually enjoy. And then you'll accomplish it. Mm. But if you can't make it through that struggle period, then you picked the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Or life has just been really cruel. I mean, let's face it. There are many, many people who don't have the luxury to choose where they want to struggle. Mm-hmm. Because life has put them in a circumstance where they just have to do whatever is absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And those are hard. Those are the hardest. And you have to find... Those are the strongest people.
Yeah.
Because they have to make it all work, even though they're doing things that they would otherwise never choose to do.
That's when it sort of defines life for them.
Yeah. And they just, you power through. You wake up early, you stay up late, you're taking care of your family, and bless everyone that has to do that. Because mm-hmm. they didn't get to choose what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But for me, that's the answer. It's you're in a space where you can grind, and that grind itself is not... It's not bad. Mm. Like it's okay. It's a good thing. Because the car, the house, the, you know, the trip you take, there's always going to be somebody or the other that has something more.
Yeah.
That's one of the crappy parts with social media. You turn it on, you open it, you see, oh, this
so
person
so
just
went
bought
on this,
this
vacation,
they went
so
on
and
that
so.
Trip.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's and then, all that they're showing you.
And that's what you think yeah. you want.
Yeah.
We have to step back and figure out what we actually want and what we actually need. Because for the most part, when you go and you accomplish those things, you've just reset a new level of problems and you better enjoy them.
Yeah.
Like you go buy a new car, you better be ready for the problems that come with that.
Yep.
You go get a new house, now all of a sudden you're dealing with way more upkeep, way more costs, all the expenses, you know, landscaping, all of these things you're not thinking about. Mm-hmm. And now you've brought on all this stress.
Yeah.
Why? Because you wanted people to see your house or you wanted a new house.
Yeah.
It's like repeat one after the other. You think you're striving for something. And I think people have forgotten how to actually be happy with what they really need, because you are bombarded with these advertisements anywhere, everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go, it's true. You have to really think about whether or not that new car or that new house or that new job or that new whatever purse or pair of shoes really will bring you joy.
It
really
will, is something. For one second.
But is that really something that you want? And I think that you and I are pretty good about reminding ourselves or asking ourselves first, like, is this really... So today, for example, we were talking about checking out a new neighborhood. And we just drove by this new neighborhood and we looked back and our kids were like depressed. And then you come back home, we were talking about it and they were so sad just at the thought of potentially moving.
Yeah.
And we realized, both of us pretty immediately, like if we made this move, we would actually really have to think about whether or not the joy factor in our home, in our family, would increase or decrease.
It would for sure decrease to begin, and then you don't know where you will go from there.
Yeah.
Kids have it right. They're not motivated by the outside world. They're not motivated by... The reason that handbag is so appealing is because you've seen other people with it and you know how you look at that handbag. Yeah. So you know whether this is, you know, actively happening in your brain or if it's in your subconscious, what they've marketed to you is you will walk down and all your friends will see you and they'll say, wow, that's amazing, because that's what you saw on that person and you thought it was amazing. So that's what they sell. These kids have not been exposed to that yet.
Yeah.
So their joy is just pure.
Yeah.
It's what they actually enjoy. It's not impacted by the outside world.
My friend is riding. She's riding distance from my house. I get to go to school with the people that I love and that I know. And
I mean,
that
makes me happy. Yeah, they're not looking. They're either happy kids and they're identifying all the things that make them happy, or they're sad kids and they identify what makes them sad.
Yeah.
So for me, back to the money thing, it was always this idea of, I want to be able to put us in a situation where we can enjoy a comfortable life without worrying about it the way I did growing up.
Yeah.
And buying the house, then you have this stress of, okay, now you have to pay for this house.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if you lose your job? What, you know, there's no security.
Right.
Then you get to a point where you've worked enough and your house is, you've paid more and the property value has gone up. And then you think about it and you say, okay, if I were to lose my job, which is unlikely, all these unlikely things, right, come to your mind. But you say, if I were to lose my job, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We could sell the house, get another job, move into another house, and you would be fine. So in time, as more of these, I can't remember when it happened, but I don't know, maybe like 5-6 years ago, where all of a sudden the switch went off in my head and it didn't matter if I bought the more expensive sneakers, if I really liked those and I thought, you know, that's what I wanted. I stopped caring about those things.
Mm-hmm. I think it's made no difference. But I think it's also amazing to see that journey and to realize that that's a privilege to be able
to think
that.
It's a huge privilege.
It's a huge privilege.
Who knows how long it would last? You never know how long it will last. Mm-hmm. But if you have that privilege, to waste that time trying to continue to climb is sad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like that's probably the irony of ironies, where people are competing to climb higher on rungs that are very comfortable for most of humanity in the first place.
Yeah.
So if you find that journey, you find the thing you really like, I think that's the key.
Yeah.
And then you enjoy.
Yeah.
You have fun. You enjoy the good moments. You suffer through the bad. But knowing that at least you've not wasted your time trying to get something you didn't even think about when you were younger.
Absolutely.
Like, hopefully you all have your passions and you remember them. But if you don't, like, imagine you don't even know what you like. A lot of people don't know what they like.
Or they've never had the opportunity to think about what they like.
Because even those who are well-to-do often don't know what they like.
Yeah.
Because they think what they like is what their neighbor likes, or what their aunt or their friend.
Or what their parents said that they need to like, or what their brother liked, or whatever.
Or what they have. Mm-hmm. And it becomes an external validation thing, which is, I don't know, you've lost, my friend, if that's how you find value.
It's true.
Instead, buy a Trid t-shirt. Promise to bring you joy. I'm trying to sell some merch.
We don't have merch for sale.
I know, but we don't have any ads on this show either. So hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll sell a t-shirt or something. Yeah. That will bring you joy.
Oh, man. This episode has been a little bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's happy, I don't like it's it. Sad, it's happy, it's sad.
I don't like all these deep thoughts.
Pensive thoughts?
Yeah.
You don't like
it? I'm not here to share my deep views with the market.
Listen, take what you want from these episodes and...
leave a comment. Tell us if you like the more deep pensive thoughts or if you want us to go back to...
Making fun Mopey of Richard.
Hey, why you talk money all so tight? I want a joke. I'm so sad. You didn't even sing on this episode.
No.
Sing your favorite money song.
It's all about the money, money, money. We don't need no money, money, money.
You know,
the last time I sang this, I was like, it's all about the money, money, money. We just want the money, money, money. And Zara looked at me. She goes, Mama, that's not the way the song goes. And I'm like, what is it? She goes, it's all about the money, money, money. We don't want no money, money, money. It's not about the price tag. Like, it's the complete opposite of what you were singing.
Yeah. Either way, you don't look at price tags. So it doesn't matter what you sang.
I do.
You look at it?
Yeah, of course I do.
How much was the sweater? Tell the truth.
$23.
From where?
From Anthropology.
They don't sell, their coasters are $23.
It was on sale, their coasters.
Is that why
not.
The bottom half is missing?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there more to that sweater?
No, I like my sweater.
Is that what the lady wears in your dirty books?
Oh my God.
Easy access sweaters?
We're done.